Man has been searching for life on other planets for decades. Currently, there's renewed interest in continuing exploration and research on Mars. Why Mars? And why the renewed interest now? Stay tuned.
Of all the solar system planets, Mars is a little further from the Sun. Mars is most similar to the Earth.
This is Science, Scripture, and Salvation, a Creation Radio Journal. I'm Chris O'Brien with the Institute for Creation Research. There's renewed interest in the search for extraterrestrial life on Mars. Well, of all the planets, it's the one most like the Earth. But at the same time, it's very different from our planet. So why is NASA still looking for signs of life there? Good question. Please join us for the next 15 minutes for today's program entitled Life on Mars. Dr. Danny Faulkner is Professor of Astronomy and Physics at the University of South Carolina.
Mars has been a fascinating planet for a very long time. Back in the 60s and early 70s, we had a number of probes that went, culminating in 76 with the Viking probes that land on the surface. And then we went for 20 years. We didn't go back. We did have a probe in the early 90s that died on the way there. And we've had a couple of actually die in recent years. But we've returned with the Sojourner a few years ago, Mars Orbiter. Several other crafts are in the process of going there now. So we've got a stream of space probes going to Mars and in the future going to Mars. So it's being opened back up again.
What did early exploration of Mars find? Dr. Donald DeYoung is professor of science at Grace College in Indiana.
Now, for many years, people have speculated about possible life on Mars. An observed seasonal darkening was once thought to be trees, vegetation on Mars, but there are no trees. The darkening was caused by dust storms. Astronomers once reported seeing canals excavated on Mars. These reports were also false. The search for Martian life moved ahead in the 1970s with the two Viking probes. These two spacecraft landed on Mars and analyzed the soil for any life forms, large or small. Careful analysis was made of soil and gases. No convincing evidence for life was found. Efforts to locate Martian life has accelerated in recent years. Billion-dollar spacecraft such as Pathfinder have searched, photographed, and analyzed the Martian surface. Thus far, evidence for life is lacking. The study of Martian meteorites has also not been encouraging for life there.
If previous trips yielded no evidence of life, why is NASA spending billions of dollars more now? Dr. Faulkner.
Part of this push to go back to Mars has been driven by a new origins emphasis in the NASA program. When I say origins, I'm not talking about origins as we would intend it. I noticed a shift in NASA a few years ago where there was a strong emphasis placed on origins of life, origins of the universe, origins of stars, planets, and solar systems. And this is a real fundamental change in emphasis of NASA, and it's very subtle because most people haven't heard about it.
Although no signs of life have been found, Mars is the planet that is most similar to Earth.
And Mars is so very important because it's a planet that's very similar to the Earth. It has a not very much farther away from the Sun than the Earth. It has a tilt similar to the Earth. It has seasons. It has some of an atmosphere, not much. Evidence of abundant water once on the surface of Mars. There is some water there today, but very little of it, just as there's very little air.
Tom Henderson worked for NASA for 37 years.
NASA photographic evidence indicates that catastrophic flooding has occurred on Mars in the past. Now, this was a big surprise when we first sent satellites to Mars in the early 70s, and they saw this kind of evidence, which has been more than confirmed by some of the newer satellites, which have cameras with a lot more resolution. And so NASA sent the Pathfinder spacecraft to land and investigate one of these areas where this flooding is said to have occurred. And NASA concluded that Mars was at one time in its past both warm and wet, with water existing in a liquid state, and it had a thicker atmosphere. Quite unlike what you see today.
Dr. Faulkner.
Let's start off with river channels that people saw and some features that may have been interpreted as large bodies of water. And evidences of large bodies of water once on the surface of the planet, larger than anybody had thought. We're talking about things much bigger than the Great Lakes, though not as big as the oceans of the Earth. But keep in mind, Mars is a lot smaller planet than the Earth. Okay, several problems with this. First of all, Mars is much smaller, so it has a much less gravity than the Earth, and it can't hold on to the atmosphere that it has. Being farther from the Sun, it's a very cold planet as well. The fact that we once had liquid water on the surface tells us two things. First of all, there was more of an atmosphere than there is today, and number two, it was a much warmer place.
Rock formations on Mars also show water deposits. Tom Henderson.
NASA also looked at the layering seen in the Martian rock formations revealed by the photographs, and they suggest sedimentary deposition by water. But, of course, we don't see this water on the surface of Mars anymore. Where did the water go? This is, of course, a big unsolved question for NASA. For instance, there's a giant canyon on Mars. It's sort of the Martian version of the Grand Canyon, much bigger. It's called Valley Marineris. And they've studying that, they concluded it once hosted deep lakes. And the other scientists speculated that, golly, I wonder if you could find fossil evidence of Martian life there. Naturalists hope that where you find water, life may have also evolved, and NASA would just love to send men to Mars, and a key objective would be to search for life or evidence of past life.
But does water equal life? Dr. DeYoung.
Water has also been sought on Mars, with little success. There's a common assumption that if you just add water, life will arise. But life is not that simple. The probability of the spontaneous origin of life is zero.
Dr. Faulkner.
Evolutionists are very interested in establishing that life could or did exist on Mars at one time because they believe that life is just one of those things that happens from time to time when the conditions are right. And water, liquid water, is one of the key ingredients. Just one. There are many others, but it's one of the key ingredients we think you must have because it's a universal solvent. It's hard to imagine life with no water whatsoever. While water is a pretty common commodity in the universe, it's not very common in the liquid form. We see evidence of it in the vapor form in many different places, even in atmospheres of some stars. We also see evidence of it in the solid form, particularly in comets and in some of the satellites and in dust grains in space, a lot of different places. But liquid water is a very rare commodity. In fact, it's so rare, the Earth's surface is the only place we know of in the entire universe where water does indeed exist.
So this is why the quest for water on the only planet even remotely like Earth is so important.
So water on Mars would be significant as far as an evolutionist is concerned. Now, as far as the creationist is concerned, we see a very different picture here. We see a planet that once was much warmer, once was much wetter. It's obviously it's an unstable situation because even if you gave a large atmosphere with a lot of warmth and liquid water to Mars today, it would lose every bit of it. So the question is, and get back to where it is today, where did Mars get the atmosphere and water in the first place, and then what happened to make it go away? And nobody knows for sure.
Tom Henderson.
They speculate that the water may be underground. Others say, well, maybe the water evaporated and has left the planet. But massive evidences of floods. In fact, some of the flooding that's occurred on the Earth was not fully recognized until they saw this same feature on Mars. For instance, the flooding in eastern Washington, which was presented, catastrophic flooding that occurred there through a breakup of a glacial dam. A scientist in the 20s showed this evidence, but people didn't recognize it for decades. Only after they looked and saw, well, Mars has this kind of feature too. You know, maybe it really is catastrophic flooding.
Amazingly, evolutionists who strongly support the idea of a global flood on Mars have yet to come to terms with the possibility of the same thing happening here on Earth.
Most of the surface could have been covered, or at least large portions of it could have been covered, and yet they deny that we could have had a flood here on this planet. And of course, creationists go around the world and we see evidence, as we think, of a worldwide flood, and evolutionists totally disavow that and interpret it in terms of long ages and gradual processes, or maybe many catastrophes around the world. But they look at Mars and they see a totally different picture. And I'm just a little baffled as to why they look at Mars and Earth so very differently. If they looked at Mars as historically people have looked, at least over the many decades in my lifetime, they look at it as maybe a way to compare to our planet. And maybe there's certain things about our own planet we can learn by looking at a planet like Mars, global flood being the possibility there.
Whatever happened in the past, Mars is a hostile environment for any kind of life.
Today, if you released water on the surface of Mars, it would either evaporate or freeze or do both at the same time. Liquid water is not stable on the surface. It would evaporate because of the low air pressure. When you have low air pressure, it drops the evaporation point down near freezing. And, of course, the temperature is below freezing, so a lot of it would freeze. But you would not end up with liquid water. So that tells us the conditions on Mars must have been very different than they are today.
Tom Henderson.
They believe that the early Martian atmosphere was thick and that the Mars gravity really couldn't hold it, so it's gradually drifted away. But they don't believe that there was ever much oxygen there. But that's just a lot of speculation as far as earlier composition of Mars' atmosphere. Today's atmosphere wouldn't support the kind of life we got running around on the planet here on the Earth, but they figure, well, you know, bacteria probably doesn't need an atmosphere. So they've never really claimed anything but, quote, ancient life, that is, bacteria.
What lessons can we learn from the exploration of Mars?
There are two lessons to be learned from the study of life on Mars. First, life of all kinds on Earth is incredibly complex. It does not and will not pop into existence on the Moon or Mars or anywhere else. Second, we've learned how special the Earth is. Mars isn't very similar to the Earth after all. It's cold and dry with little atmosphere. Our beautiful, comfortable Earth contrasts sharply with all known space locations. Truly, there's no place like home.
As creationist Christians, should we believe in the possibility of life on Mars? Dr. Faulkner.
We would not expect that at all. We believe that life is a special creation and that it serves a purpose, and it serves a purpose here on the Earth. Again, some Christians look at life elsewhere from the standpoint of an evolutionist. They say, well, you've got water there, you've got this and that and everything else, so why shouldn't there be life? Well, that's assuming that life arises spontaneously wherever the conditions are good. And that's something that a Christian should not believe.
Thanks for joining us for today's program about Mars. Our free offer today is Back to Genesis Article Number 93B, written by our president, Dr. John Morris. It's called Did NASA Find Life in Martian Rocks? And it's about the Mars rock discovery in Antarctica. Again, it's BTG number 93B. Just ask for it when you contact us. To ask for today's free offer, please call toll-free 1-800-7-GENESIS. That's 1-800, the number 7, and the word Genesis. And you can address your letters to ICR at P.O. Box 2667, El Cajon, California, 92021. If there's a topic you would like us to cover on the program, then email us at radio@icr.org. ICR's website address is www.icr.org. Science, Scripture, and Salvation, a Creation Radio Journal, is a production of ICR. For the Institute for Creation Research, I'm Chris O'Brien. Thanks for tuning in.